So we have been learning the a particular sefer called Da'as Tfila. Da'as Tfila. My copy is very, very beat up. It's a sefer that was written some 30 years ago by Rabbi Ehud Rakovsky, who also goes by the name Rabbi Ehud Avi Tzedek, who's many generations Yerushalmi. He lives on Rehov Frank in Bayit Vegan, for those of you who are familiar with the layered streets of Bayit Vegan. And I've had the pleasure of meeting with him on many times, many occasions, to talk about his svarim. Rabbi Rakovsky is a Rosh Kollel in Bayit Vegan, and he is a major figure in the world of Machshava. He was a Talmud Muvik of Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal. And I remember years ago asking him exactly how he got into Machshava. He's also written Svarim on Shas, but most of his work over the last 30 years or so, he has a Sefer Da'as Tfila, Sefer Da'as Shabbos, a number of Svarim called Da'as Emuna. And I remember asking him exactly why he went into the field of Machshava. And Rabbi Rakovsky answered that he felt there were enough people there writing on Shas, and that Shas is an endless sea. He could add his 2 cents and he could do that. But to be able to master something, to be able to really get one's hands on something, one has to pick a topic that is smaller than Shas. And he felt, even though his head was basically, he was a typical yeshiva kind of a fellow, he felt that if he sunk his kochos into Machshava, then he'd be able to actually add something to the world. He'd be able to add something to Klal Yisrael because of that. And so he has done in his many Sfarim. He's actually in need of a Refuah Shleima now, so we learn the last number of weeks for a Refuah Shleima for Rabbi Rakovsky, and we're going to pick up in the Sefer, and I'll explain exactly where we are and what exactly it is that we are doing. Let me share my screen. Do I have the ability to do that? I think I do. Here, look at that. Okay, you see a copy of the Da'as Tfila as it appears on HebrewBooks.org. One more word of introduction. When this Sefer was transferred up to HebrewBooks.org, it was done so not as a photocopy, but it was done so by recognizing the words, most of which it got right. But we'll come across a couple of words where, unfortunately, the word was slightly off, a chaf missed with a bays or stuff like that, but still a lot easier to work with this download from Hebrew Books than to make the copies each week. What is Rabbi Rakovsky talking about? So this Sefer and this Shir is not about particular tefillos. It's not about particular tefillos. I think very often when we study tefillah, we study the meaning of particular tefillot, we get a nice vort on a particular tefillah, something of that nature. But before we get to words of tefillah, tefillah is about an experience. Tefillah is about a connection. Whether we understand the words or whether we don't understand the words. So the experience of being with Hashem, the experience of having to stand before Hashem, is meaningful in and of itself, and truly represents what tefillah is about. So it's a lot easier in a certain way to talk about particular lines in particular tefillos. And I respect those svarim, and I learned those svarim too, and I think one can make a birchas haTorah on those svarim, and it's a worthwhile experience. But it doesn't usually change the way we daven. It doesn't usually change the way we daven. Because knowing what a particular word means is not as important as understanding the themes that we're talking about, the topics, and more than that, understanding that we're actually having a conversation with the Ribono Shel Olam. The Sefer that we're learning together, Da'as Tfila, is not a Sefer about any particular Tfila. Yes, he mentions a line here and a line there for Tfilos, but it's a 600-page Sefer that talks about what it means to pray, and how prayer is supposed to change us. And that's why the Sefer is so fascinating to me. Those of you who know me know that for many years I've been working on such a Sefer, Amir Tzashem. Hopefully by the end of COVID, it'll give me the opportunity to have finished many, many chapters on these ideas for many different Sfarim. But in the meantime, we will learn from Rabbi Rakovsky. Hora'a Shishit. The sixth, how could you jump in for all those who are new watchers and listeners this week for the 6 weeks of this special program? How do you jump in on the sixth piece? Well, I'll tell you exactly what we've done so far, and you'll be able to appreciate jumping in even at the sixth. Rabbi Rakovsky started his Sefer. We're still literally in the introduction to the Sefer. This is the ninth week that we've been studying together. We're literally still in the introduction to the Sefer. Rabbi Rakovsky makes the following assumption. Hebrew is a language like no other. Words in Hebrew have very deep, precise meanings. And a word in Hebrew isn't just a name I call something. It's not just phonetics that I use so I can remember the thing or discriminate from something else. But the root of the words in Hebrew speak to something very deep and very real. He starts off by talking about Adam HaRishon and naming the animals. What does it mean that Adam HaRishon named the animals? It meant that Adam HaRishon understood the nature of the animals. He understood the nature of the Hebrew language, and he put them together to provide these names for the animals. With that in mind, that words in Hebrew have very deep meaning, he tries to look at the beginning of his Sefer as to what it means, lehit palel. What does that word mean? Palal. Pe lamed lamed seems to be the root. What does that word mean, and what does that tell us about the experience of prayer? Hebrew words are deeper than just the surface meaning. Lehit palel happens to be used to mean to pray, but what is palal? What is that root pe lamed lamed, and what does that tell us about what the prayer experience is supposed to be? He's given a number of different interpretations. He's talked about perhaps the most famous one, that palal means to judge. Vayamod Pinchas, this week's parsha, Vayamod Pinchas Vayafalel, it says in Tehillim. Pinchas got up and he attacked. He judged. Vayafalel. Lehit palel is to do to myself, to judge myself, to put myself before judgment, however we'll understand that. But let's now go forward, and those of you who have been part of the Shir, that's the end of the introduction, we'll all now move forward in Mirtz Hashem together. Hora'a Shishit, a sixth understanding of the root of Tefillah. Each one of these is a gem in and of themselves. You don't have to know the others to get something out of each one of these, because each one speaks to what prayer is supposed to be. Hora'a Shishit, Tefillah, Chibur Devekut. That tefillah means a connection. Tefillah means to be, to cleave, to be with something or someone. He quotes the pasuk, Naftulei Elokim Niftalti, Bereshit Lamed Yudchet, probably Chai, right? He quotes the pasuk by the second child that Rachel has born to Bilhah. Rachel, of course, is desperate. She's not able to keep up with her sister. Her sister Leah has four children. Naftulei Elokim Niftalti, Bereshit Lamed Yudchet. Kabel Ba'uti, he quotes first the Unkelus. Kabel Ba'uti, God has accepted my prayer. What does this phrase mean? Naftulei Elokim Niftalti. Very strange. What does the word Naftali mean? What does the name Naftali mean? Kabel Ba'uti Hashem, God has accepted my prayer. Ba'usi, my request. Be'ischananusi bitzlusi, when I begged in prayer. Targum, that's the Targum. Umenachem ben Saruk, Pirsho, Tzamid Patil. And Menachem ben Saruk. Anybody know who Menachem ben Saruk was? Menachem ben Saruk wrote a book called the Machberet. That was one of the very, very early grammar books. Rashi used this book. Menachem ben Saruk lived in Spain in the 900s. In the 900s, so preceded Rashi. Menachem ben Saruk Pirsho, he said, what does it mean, Naftulei Elokim Niftalti? Tzamid Patil. Also very timely. What is a Tzamid Patil? What is it, Samid Patil? A Samid Patil is a tight covering. Where does it come up? In last week's Parsha. If you have a Kli Cheres, if you have an earthenware jug, if you have an earthenware jug with a very tight seal, then even if you have a dead body in the room, the Tumah does not enter into the Kli Cheres, and the thing inside the Kli Cheres remains Tahor. What does it mean? Tzamid Patil. He says it's the same idea. Now here is a mistake. It shouldn't say Chachurim, it should say Chaburim. Connected. Me'et ha-makom nichbarti nitchabarti imachutai. I have now been bound to my sisters who have had children. I had my second child. I did something. I put in my 2 cents, so to speak. I've been connected. When she has Naphtali, he's named for the fact that now she is connected to the family. So the word Naphtal, the root of which is pei tuf, okay? And, sorry, Naphtal pei lamed, sorry. Hitpalel, hitpal. He says the root of the word hitpalel might be from the idea to connect. Ayin od nefesh achayim, shar yud bet perek yud aleph, behagah in the footnote, shezehu inyan hatfilin. Hiddabkut. What is he referring to here? He quotes a lot of different things. He just throws them out there. The Nefesh HaChaim, of course, written by Reb Chaim Volozhiner, talks about the fact that God wears tefillin. What's pshat that God wears tefillin and God wears arm tefillin? See, the arm tefillin is different than the head tefillin. The head tefillin sits on our head like a crown. The arm tefillin is tied to us. The kesher is made, right? And the way we, the minig we have is to actually remake the kesher on some level every time that a man puts on tefillin, he kind of ties that. He doesn't put it on his head like a crown. That's the head tefillin. The arm tefillin is about connection. The Gemara tells us that a Kaddish Baruch Hu's tefillin has beautiful psukim about how special we are. And our tefillin has beautiful psukim about how special He is. And that the idea is that we are connected. We are connected in our through our tefillin. The idea of tefillin is that we're connected to God. It's about connection. And so too is tefillah. Zuhi quotes the Moreh Nevuchim. For those who are just starting this week to learn this Sefer, he has a mastery of Sifrei Machshava. He goes from Kabbalistic sources to Perushim on Tanakh, to the Rambam, back and forth. Zui tachlis avodas halev shel tefillah. This is the goal of the avodas halev of tefillah. Dveikus. Bebore yisparach. It's to connect to Hashem. The purpose of tefillah is not to ask Him, is not to praise Him, is not to thank Him. It's to somehow create a connection to Him. And that's the purpose of tefillah. Lihitkarev el Hashem. Just ignore if there's a little noise in the background coming up. Lihitkarev el Hashem. V'lamod lefanav al haderech ha'amitit. To get close to God and to stand before Him in a real way. Tefillah gives us the way of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of being with Him. The goal of the world is to be able to form an intimate connection with God. Don't worry. Hi, everybody. The goal is to form an intimate connection with God. How do we do that? How are we supposed to know how to do that? Tefillah is that which gives us the tools to be able to have an intimate connection with Him. It shouldn't surprise us, by the way, that tefillah is so regimented. So many times a teenager will ask you, like, oh, what is all this? I got to do these bowing, and I got to start with this, and then I got to say that, and I got to do all these kinds of things. So, you know, why does tefillah have to have so many rules? Can it be that I just, when I want, I just talk to Him? Yes, you can do that. But if we think of God as a king, think of God not just as a friend, not even just as a father, but to the extent that He's a king, you can't just walk in on a king. There are rules. their regulations. You want to meet the Queen of England? Lahavdil Elif Avdolos, you want to meet the Queen of England? There are rules you have to follow, right? You kiss her hand, you don't kiss her hand, you speak first, you don't speak first. I never had the need to meet the Queen of England, nor the opportunity to meet the Queen of England. So I can't tell you. But I can promise you that if I was going to talk to the Queen of England, Lahavdil Elif Avdolos, there would have to be etiquette. There would have to be rules. There would have to be a way of approaching her. And not only that, I might not naturally know what those things are. It might not be intuitive to me what those things are that I need to do to get close to her. Because I'm not royalty. I'm very different from her. And if I'm different from the Queen of England, very different from the Melech Malchei HaMelochim. Let me try to see a raised hand. Do you want to unmute yourself, Javi, and ask a question?
Yeah, I sent a question, but I'll tell you what it is. If tefillin serves as a connection to Hashem during tefillah, what about women? And thank you, Rabbi, for...
My pleasure. My pleasure. Obviously, there are many, many ways that we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the tefillah is a much more powerful connection than tefillin themselves. One could argue, some have argued, that the whole reason why women have a few fewer mitzvot, only a few fewer mitzvot than men, is because perhaps their lines are a little more open already. Perhaps they need fewer external devices. What we're going to learn about in tefillah is that the real ways to connect Hashem don't require so many external devices. They have to be guided by his commands. They have to be guided by a certain heavenly wisdom, but they shouldn't really require too many physical actions if you're going to connect with God. So that's how I would suggest it. But of course, there are many pieces that we don't understand, you know, about why women are commanded in certain things and men in others. Okay, says the Rambam going forward. Halo biarti lecha shezeh haseichel asher shofa aleinu mashem yisaleh. The Rambam's going to address Chavi's point here, that it's not really about our arms or our skulls or the boxes of the tefillin. The Rambam says that we have been given something by God that allows us to connect with him in a very deep way, and that is our seichel. That is our minds. There's probably nothing that separates the human being from the rest of the animal kingdom more than our seichel. Another digit on our fingers, we're able to do certain things, but the major difference, of course, between a human and an animal is the ability to think and the ability to speak. And perhaps it's because we're supposed to have a different kind of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halo biarti lecha shezeh haseichel asher shofa aleinu mashem yisaleh hu hadivuk asher beinenu uveinu. That's the place to make the connection. That's there to forge that connection. For harishus nesun aloch im tirtzeh, lechazek hadibuk hazeh taseh. Such a powerful line. And if you want to get closer, we have the tool. The tool is our minds. The tool is our neshamos. We can use this to be closer to God. V'im tirtze lahachlisho ma'at ma'at ashetafsekeu taseh. And if you want to slowly, slowly pull away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will let you do that too. But it's not a question of keeping the mitzvos, not keeping the mitzvos, learning Torah, not learning Torah. It's not even about davening or not davening. Am I going to connect to Hashem, or am I going to distance myself from Hashem? V'lo yischazek ze hadivuk rak behish tamech bo be'avas Hashem v'shetiye kavanascha elel. How do you get close to God? How do you make that more intimate? You got to think about him and you got to love him. It's interesting. He doesn't say, even though this is a continuation of the last piece, he doesn't mention tefillah per se. It's not tefillah per se. Tefillah is a way, is an opportunity to think about him and to express our love for him. It's not the words per se. It's the time that we take out It's the quality time that we spend with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a quality time, family time. When is your God time? When is your God time? He's probably the most important being in your life. I mentioned this a number of months ago. Anybody's not on the Tefillah WhatsApp, you can contact me one way or another, penner@yu.edu. I'll put you on the WhatsApp group. We spoke a while ago on the WhatsApp group, 2-Minute Ideas, about the fact that at the end of the day, and as sobering as it is, the most important relationship we have in the entire world is the relationship with God. We love our spouses, we love our parents, if we have parents, we love our children, we love our grandchildren, we love these people. But there's only one other being, so to speak, Lahavdil, that will always be with us, that was with us before we were born, that's with us when, God forbid, we're on a respirator in the hospital, that's with us when we're in, God forbid, in prison, that's with us after our lives for the rest of our eternity. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, we have an idea that after we die, we're reunited with people, and there's truth to that. But nothing compares to our relationship with Hashem. We invest time in our family. We invest time with our spouses, if we're lucky to have a spouse. We invest time with our parents. Do we invest time with the person or the being that has to be our best friend in the whole world, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do we spend time for our love affair? Do we spend time thinking about him? Do we spend time alone with him? The Rambam says that it is our decision as to how close we will be with God. You know, it's so interesting that there are times in our life where it feels like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close, and there are times in our life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems so far away. And we've been through, over the last couple of months, a time where he's just felt distant. He's just felt so far away. What are you doing? What are you thinking? Is this the beginning of the time of Mashiach? Is this the end of the world as we know it? What is going on? The Rambam says that the key to feeling close to God is in our hands, not in his. HaRishus Nesun Alach Im Tirtzeh L'Chazeh Kadivu Kazeh Ta'aseh. What powerful Musar from the Rambam. We don't think of the Rambam as a Musarnik. He's not in the Musar movement. He's the Rambam. HaRishus Nesun Alach Im Tirtzeh L'Chazeh Kadivu Kazeh Ta'aseh. If you want to feel closer to God, you have to take the first step. You have to take the steps. It's in our hands to be able to be closer to God, to love him, to think about him, to daven to him, to spend time every single day. How many times do we daven? Do we put in the time? Do we say the words, but have no intimate connection with Hashem? It doesn't mean you don't have to say the words. It doesn't mean you don't have to do the bowing. All those things are also important. But when's the last time that I had an intimate moment with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Dveikus Zeh now goes back to his own words. One of the things about the Sefer Das Tefillah is that he's so good at weaving in quotes that sometimes you don't know if you're in a quote or you're in his words. There are quotation marks often, but you can miss them. It flows so easily from one to the next. Now it's his own words. Very Rav Kook sounding. Dveikus Zeh Shofa'at Me'olama Zeh Shel HaNeshama. This dveikus comes from the world of the neshama. We spoke about this last week, but I want to fill in those who are tuning in for the first time this week. We believe that there are different levels of the soul. The Kabbalah tells us that there are 5 different levels of the soul. The bottom 3 are the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. I know we use neshama for soul in general, but in more specific terms, the nefesh is the lowest level, and then the ruach, and then the neshama. Nefesh corresponds to actions. It's the lowest level. It's almost the animal part of us. Ruach, wind, corresponds to dibur, to speech. And Seichel, Machshava, corresponds to the Neshama. Thinking about Hashem. Loving Hashem. Not speaking to Hashem per se. It's not the speech that creates the connection. It's the thought. It's the through the level of Neshama. Umakefet et klal komata adam, and it expands to the entire person. Rigshut halev v'ga'aguav. He sounds very Rav Kook-like here. I'm not exactly sure. He doesn't usually in the Sefer sound so Rav Kook-like. The feelings of the heart and his yearnings. Ha'ahavazu tzimaon ha'adam v'kisufav ha'teorim lehitaneg b'dveikos elabore. This love is a thirst and a yearning, a pure yearning to enjoy b'dveikos al habore, to enjoy the feeling of being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tchushat ha-kirva shel ha-nefesh ha-mishtapeches ba-arga nochach p'nei Hashem yitbarach. The feeling of closeness that comes from a soul that's pouring out to be longing, ke-ayal ta-ro galafikinam erga, the longing to be in front of Hashem. And even the yira, ha-yira ha-meromemes mehadar ga-ono yitbarach, the yira, the fear of his hadar ga'ono, of his majesty, asher toldata hi ha'achna'a, which results ultimately in fact, being less of ourselves, making less of ourselves. Bitul v'hashpotas sha'arit sonos aguf etav utav, pushing away our physical selves so that we can be with him. What he's saying so beautifully here, and then we'll take a look at the chat for a moment. What he's saying so beautifully here is that all of our emotions give us the ability to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They give us the chance to do that. In particular, he speaks of these two, Ava and Yira. Ava is the love to want to be with our beloved, to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When's the last time that you really enjoyed, this is what we're going to speak about in Mitzvah Shem next week, enjoying tefillah. Enjoying tefillah. It's usually not the two words that go together. I do tefillah, I davened, I did it, but like enjoy. I am so ready for mincha. Like, wow, I can't, you know. I always say that if we think of the three davenings a day, the way we used to think of the three meals at Grossinger's of blessed memory, right? It's like, wow. Like, you know, I can't. It's too long. It's too far away. Isn't it here yet, right? So we're going to talk about it. But both Yira and Ava get us close to him. Ava gets us close to him because we want to be there. We want to be with him. We want to spend time with him. Yira, the fear, actually allows us to shed our worldliness. What we're going to speak about next time is using tefillah to get away. To get away. You can't really be with God if you're fully down here. He doesn't want us to always be with him, so to speak. The Ramchal, we quoted this at one point, the Ramchal talks about the fact that we're supposed to be down here in this world. We're supposed to be down here in this world. We're not supposed. Yes, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ulevai shiyit palel ha'adam kol yom kulo. It would be great if we could daven all day. But that's not practical. That's not what we're here for. We're here to be down here. But there are moments when we can connect with him if we're willing to say, I'm going to take off for a couple of minutes and be with him. And we're going to talk about how to enjoy that experience and what that is. Amir Tzashem, next week. Okay, cut from the Zoom chat. Where can we find the recording of the class? The recording of the class you can find on YU Torah couple of days after I give it. It goes up on YU Torah. This would be Das Tefillah Shir number 9. You can also find the first 8 sessions, 8 half-hour sessions before that. You can WhatsApp me at 646-660-5858. And I will send you a link. One second. I will send you a link to... Hold on. Send chat to everyone in meeting. Okay, now you all have my cell phone. Please use it just for the WhatsApp. There's a lot of calls coming in. But you can WhatsApp me on that number, 660-646-660-5858, And I'll send you a link to get the daily tefillah shiur. In July, it's been a little sketchy. Yesterday was the first day I missed since Corona started. But Mirtz Hashem, most days there'll be a 2-minute tefillah thought as well. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you,
Yashikor. Thank you. Thank you. Good night, Gedalia. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks.